I would listen intently. You know why? Number one, I desperately need the blessing. And number two, can I say doggone in church? You think possibly and still be sanctified? I doggone sure don't want the cursing. Can you say amen? Amen. I see people under the curse. And I see people and meet people under the blessing. To me, it's a no-brainer. I want to walk in the blessing of the Lord. Can you say, man, I need that in my life. There are things that can bring blessing. There's things that can bring cursing. And God isn't deciding this. He's already established spiritual law. And we're going to make the decision. Oh, God, see so many people chasing the blessing. I want to get in the position where the blessing is chasing me. Got three amens, some hard looks, but we're not done yet. It may all change before it's over with. And before you see escalades, and I'm awful sorry I got this man's hopes up. Amen. Amen. Before you see escalate, and it may be in the blessing. I don't know what God's going to bless you with materially, but I know where it all begins. And it all begins in a spiritual blessings in your life that you understand, appreciate, and appropriate. And once you begin to feel and sense the true riches of Christ in your life, amen, you know he's going to take care of everything else. Praise God. I wish above all things that you be in health and prosper as your soul prospers. Because if you don't get a spiritual understanding of what true riches and the blessing of the Lord truly is, you'll never understand true prosperity. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. I want you to stretch your hand this way. I want you to pray for me that God will help me articulate this very important message. I believe it's a keynote message. Christmas is over. The new year hasn't officially begun, but God doesn't start working on those kind of dates. He doesn't stop working after Christmas. He doesn't start on New Year's Day. He's working right here and right now. Praise God. Heavenly Father, help me to articulate, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Help me not to depend upon the past experience of over four decades. Lord, I can preach because I'm a preacher and I know the Word of God, but I know the God of the Word as well. Help me to rightfully divide the Word of truth in the name of Jesus. And give us all ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, and amen, and amen. Praise God. You may be seated for a few moments. There's no place in the Bible where there's only blessing. There's always two sides to the coin. There's no place in the Bible where there's one road to take in life. There's always two roads. You always have to make choices. You always have to choose. Some people in here are going to choose to follow Jesus and become a real disciple of Jesus Christ. There's always going to be people in any gathering who are going to choose not to follow Jesus. They'll pursue the blessing, but they'll choose not to follow Christ. Well, if you really want to pursue the blessing, you got to pursue the blesser. And not pursue him just for the blessing, but pursue him because of what he's done for you at Calvary. And follow him. Become a true follower of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about the radio message, and I can do it in a better time frame, and I'm going to work on that because I have finally discovered after 40 years, almost 41 years in January of pastoral ministry, if you don't have a heart for it, an hour of trying to get it in there is not going to get it in there. But if you've got a heart for God, amen, not to just hear, but to hear it with the intention of applying it to your life, God is going to speak to you, and it won't take long. And one thing I've got to do, and I know the Lord is talking to me about, is getting my eyes off the people that don't want to go and get my eyes on the people that do want to go. And get my eyes off the people that stay out of church and go right back into the world after having an exposure to the gospel, they haven't discovered yet the pearl of great price. They haven't discovered yet the kingdom of God. Amen. They haven't really had that revelation or realization, or they wouldn't be headed back into the world to try to find the fulfillment that only Jesus can give them. But if any man discovers that pearl of great price, he gives up everything that he has. Full surrender is no problem for him or her. Can you say amen? That he might obtain that pearl. It breaks my heart. It always does. And I could get depressed and not try to go forward with the people that can be touched, that want to follow Jesus. I ask God not to fill these seats with bodies in a building, but with people that are hungry for truth and hungry for God, and people that are serious about following Jesus. Can you say amen? So vitally important. I really don't want people to just come in and come forward and go out and live like the devil the rest of their life. That's not accomplishing anything for God. Can you say amen? But I'm looking for people that will come in and say, I'm so glad that you're challenging me to follow him, because I want to follow Jesus Christ in my life. Can you say amen? All right. Let's talk about true riches for a little while. True riches involve God's kingdom. That's why people are willing to sell out everything in this natural world to obtain that is represented in the kingdom of God. Listen to what Jesus said before we read this other scripture that you can actually write down. He said, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hid in a field. By the way, the Bible said the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The world, until you come to Christ, the world around us will never get you. They'll never get me. They will never understand or appreciate the things of the kingdom of God. They that are of the flesh, what do? They mind the things of the flesh. And to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And by the way, it's that peace that causes life to take on that atmosphere and attitude of abundance. See, the Bible said, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. When people that are of the flesh hear the word abundant, they think of things. They think of rings. They think of bling bling. Can you say amen? They think of cars and houses. If you're setting yourself today, oh, tell me how to get more stuff. Well, you're in the wrong place. You're listening to the wrong preacher. However, there are preachers out there waiting for you. It's going to cost you to make them richer. But they're waiting for someone with your attitude. Because if you think that you can give them $100 and God's going to give you a house on a hill and an Escalade, they're going to have the house on the hill. They're going to drive the Escalade. Can you say amen? If you hear abundance in those terms, if you think of abundance in material terms, you need to grow spiritually. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. What price is there with being right with God? I'm going to tell you one day, everybody in this room, one day you're going to draw a breath in and let a breath out. It'll be the last breath you take before eternity. And it could happen before you get home. And knowing where you're going is worth more than all the gold and silver and money in the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the peace with God, knowing I'm ready to stand before God, not because I'm sinlessly perfect, but I'm perfectly saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What's that worth? There's no price put on it. Amen. No price can be put on it. How dare us begin to associate the material with something as precious beyond any words. The Bible calls Jesus the unspeakable gift, and what he gives us within that gift of himself, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. I've spent a lifetime trying to describe the indescribable, trying to tell people that words can never will never do justice to. There's no way to put into any language or any verbiage. There's no way to describe the worth of being saved. You know where the wicked are going to spend eternity? Jesus said there is a place of eternal torment and banishment from God. Banishment and punishment. Eternity. Eternally. 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 If God didn't give me anything in this material world, this side of heaven, I'd be so happy to escape eternal banishment and eternal punishment. It would not affect my praises for Him, my love for Him, my joy in Him. Can you say amen? I preached a message not long ago out there. I believe needs to be preached all over America. No one can appreciate. It was in this line. No one can appreciate the grace of God until you understand the wrath of God and the judgment of God. You're not just going to heaven. You have escaped damnation. You've escaped the wrath to come. You don't have to fear the judgment of God that is hanging over this world like the sword of Damocles. You don't have to worry about that. What's that worth to you today? Brother Venable, I didn't get the woman I wanted. Well, you're not going to hell. I don't think you should be pining away over not getting the woman you wanted. God didn't give me the woman I wanted. Maybe it's not the woman for you. Some people get what they want and don't want what they get. Can you say, Matt? Some people marry a personality and end up living with a character. Amen? Well, I didn't get the man I wanted. Well, God didn't give me what I prayed for. Well, maybe what you prayed for wasn't in His will, but you're saved. You're a child of the Most High God. When you draw your last breath here, you draw your next breath there. That's got to be worth something. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. See, when the kingdom of God is as a treasure hid in a field. When a man finds it, when he discovers the kingdom of God, what that's really all about, and what he has in Christ, he sells everything that he has to purchase that field. Amen. I was bivocational for 12 years out of the 41 that I had pastored, and I didn't miss a Sunday that I know of. I came, sometimes I rushed right out to get to work and pull my shift, but I was here on Sunday morning preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And people at work did not understand me because they offered me, listen to me carefully today, they offered me raises. I could have moved near the golf course. $1,000 more a month would have helped me a lot. How many would $1,000 more a month help you a lot? In the material sense. Amen. What they offered me was $1,000 more a month. That's $12,000 more a year. I could have drove a better car. I could have lived in a better neighborhood. I could have lived in a bigger home. I chose to say no. Because I understand the kingdom. I worked with a Baptist deacon who actually invited me to preach in a big church in Plant City on Ball Street, on Pastor's Appreciation. They asked me to come back and preach. I was glad to preach for them. So in the office, I kept turning down advancement. That would have, and they didn't get it. And some of these people went to church, but this particular guy, he got it. He had seen the kingdom. He knew why I was doing what I was doing. He appreciated my commitment to follow Jesus Christ and not just make decisions based on what's in it materially for me. But how can I be a blessing to others? And how can I keep my eyes on the prize? Hallelujah. Amen. And so they asked him because they knew he knew me pretty well. And they said, what's wrong with Bob? What's wrong with Rev? They call me Rev. They give us safety new jackets if we if we light lightweight jackets with our name emblazoned on them, you know, embroidered on them, and no one could use nicknames because some people nickname people things that people didn't like to be called. So they couldn't use nicknames. They had to use your first name. No nicknames. But they had nicknamed me Rev. Not because I was revved up all the time either. They named me Rev because I was a minister of the gospel of Christ. And going to work didn't change who I was. And I didn't go there to preach. I went there to be a living epistle. Can you say, man? I went there to let my life do some talking and my life do some speaking. So when they got me my jacket, I looked for Robert and I saw Rev. Amen. And I appreciated it. I was the only one had my nickname on my jacket, Rev, because they knew I'm not offended when you call me Rev. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. They asked him. They said, "What is it with Rev? What is it with Robert? What is it with him? Don't he love his family?" In other words, if you can give them more stuff, that shows how much you love them. You compromise your faith to have more material things for them. I want my family to know Jesus. Amen. I want them to see the kingdom of God. I want them to know what the abundant life really is. Can you say amen? I want them to know there's something of value that the world doesn't value. There's something of more value than anything that the world does value. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness. It's peace. Whatever you have, if you don't have peace, you are dirt poor. Can you say amen? If you don't have, listen, you can drive through some of these communities and look at those houses. Honey, every house is not a home. If they don't have peace with one another and peace with God, all that is stone and glass and wood and you can sit in the best car ever made without peace. See, people think they're going to find it in a thing or in a person, but it's only in Christ. He said, "In this world you'll have tribulation. Ain't no way around it. But peace I give you. Peace I leave with you. I bequeath it to you. And it's not the peace that the world gives, give I thee." Look up peace in a dictionary. It says the cessation of wars. Everybody gets along with you. Everybody loves you. Everything is fine. There's no storms in your life. Where's that at? What planet is that? My peace I give unto you. Something you'll never get out of a promise box in this world. How many still live in this world? Oh, we always have a few from other planets, but we're not going to ship you back. Just stay here and hear the gospel with us. In this world right now, in the fallen condition that it's in this fallen world, you, as a Christian, as a believer, you shall promise from God. You shall have tribulation. The word is thelpsis. It means pressure. It means anguish. Amen? We live in a fallen world. You're going to get your heart broken in this world. God is going to fix it if you keep your trust in Him. Amen. You're going to get hurt in this world. But God's going to pour oil and wine in the wound and restore you if you keep your trust in Him. Being a Christian doesn't mean everything's going to smooth out. Going to get bumpier. If you live in victory in this world and you have joy in this world and you have that peace and kingdom joy in this world, somebody's going to want to know what you're smoking, what's your token, what you're drinking, and you let them know, "Ain't smoking, ain't token, ain't drinking." Well, I am drinking. There's something called new wine, and there is a river. There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water springing up unto everlasting life. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't see it. They don't know why anyone would sacrifice anything materially or physically for this kingdom, because they don't see it. It's a treasure hid in a field. But guess who finds treasures hid in fields? People that are seeking something. They're looking for something. They know that there's got to be more to life than getting that woman, getting that man, living in that house, and driving that car. One man came to our church years ago. He heard a tape of the ministry. It challenged him. It moved his heart. And he wanted to come to church. But in order to come to our church, he was going to have to leave a prestigious church. And he told me when he came to our church, and he stayed with us about 3 years before he caved. I mean, before God led him somewhere else anyway. Because he was under intense pressure. People ask him all the time, why are you going to that little church in the inner city? Why are you going down there, for heaven's sakes? You know, there's a lot of Christians don't even get it anymore. Can you say amen? You know what his goal was? And he told me this. He wasn't ashamed of it. He said, but God began to change it when, see, he began to see the kingdom in a new, fresh view. When he heard the word of God under the anointing, he began to see things differently. Look at things, measure things differently. He said, I had three goals. He said, I wanted to continue rising in my job until I could buy a house in a particular neighborhood that represented not riches necessarily, but prestigious. He said, I wanted a particular car, and the car represented prestigious. I have arrived somewhere. And since I got the house and the car that represents prestige, I need a church to drive it up to that represents prestige. So I want that house, and I got it. I wanted that car, and I'm driving it. And I want to go to that church because people in those houses and those cars, that's where they go to church. So I got prestige. But somehow, my son used to play with his son. And my wife was over to pick up my son. His son fell out of a tree and broke his arm till it, I don't know, bone was sticking through or whatever it was. Pamela laid hands on him, prayed for him. Somewhere between prayer and the hospital, God did a wondrous work. And what could have been a lifetime injury just healed right back, fixed right up, the bleeding stopped. And so he decided, well, if God's working these people's lives, see, you can have the prestige. I want I want to get a prayer through. I want to get a prayer answered. I want to see God move. I want God's truth to set the captive free. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And he decided, he said, Brother Venable, I listened to the tape. I heard the word of God. I wanted to be in that church, and he came for several years. It's an amazing thing, though, how people can miss the kingdom of God. What is wrong with Reb? What's he giving up money for in order to be in church on Sunday? Don't he love his family? He could give more things to his family. My son saw something on television the other day with his wife, somebody abusing the word of God in order to just get people to give. And it broke his heart because he knows my life and the way that I've lived my life. Amen. And he turned to his wife. He said, I turned to my wife and said, my daddy would never do that. My daddy will never do that. So your daddy may never be on television, but I will not compromise the truth of God to be on television and to meet a budget. Can you say amen? No, his daddy will never do it. I'm going to stand up for Jesus Christ as he's presented in the word of God. And I'm not going to capitulate, and I'm not going to compromise, because I want the kingdom to be first in my life. And the Bible said if it is first, everything else I need. And I need, just like you need. We have needs in our life. But if the kingdom gets first, everything else you need shall be added unto you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everything. 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 They put the kingdom first, Sean, and they left their nets. The only business they knew. They left their nets to follow him. The tax collector left his job. The Luke, the physician, left his job. Can you imagine professionals leaving their profession to go and become fishers of men? Amen. They just give it up to become fishers of men. They put the kingdom first. There's so few fishers of men today. I'm not just talking about preachers and missionaries. I'm talking about Christians whose witness can have an impact. There's so few that can go out into society and become salt and light. Because the kingdom isn't first. We blend so well. Our values match the world about us. Our goals match the world. I want that car, that house, go to that church. I have arrived somewhere. They that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are in the Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God. There is nothing to compare. There should be no competition in the life of a believer. Doesn't Rev love his family? Why won't he take? Of course it's going to take him out of church, but hey! Some of these guys sat on boards to elect pastors because of who they were and the contributions they made. They had no perception of the kingdom. And yet they are the ones that are pulling the strings. And this particular deacon that knew me, he said, "You don't understand, Rev. It's not about the money with him." I was coming down the steps to clock out in that time that I had being bivocational. And it taught me a lot about what way the world thinks and the way a lot of Christians think when they're out of church. Amen. So I was coming down the steps to the time clock from the break room. It's about time to go home. We had a sign up by the time clock. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you should be here at quitting time. Amen. Everybody comes alive. I heard a conversation. It was on a Friday afternoon, and I heard a conversation. You couldn't help. I'm coming down the steps, and they're talking loud at the time clock, waiting for that click so you can clock out. And one man was asking another, "Why don't you come and go to church with me Sunday?" And I was appreciating it, so my ears went up. "Why don't you come and go to church with me Sunday?" I thought, this is good. I got almost to the bottom, and I heard the other guy say, as the excuse not to come, he said, I watch preachers on television sometimes, and all they're interested in is your money. I wish I could defend that, but that's the way many people perceive because of the way that it's conducted, the way offerings are taken, and the implication that you can buy blessings that Jesus has bought and paid for at the cross. Can you say, listen to me carefully. Everyone knew I was a minister of the gospel, and I'm coming down the steps, and this guy had no answer for people abusing it on television. But he did have an answer, and I was so glad to be a servant of the Most High God that day. Amen. And to serve him for the right reason. Hallelujah. For the furthering of his kingdom. For souls to be won to Christ. Willing to work if necessary. Just like everybody else, to preach on Sunday, Brother Sean. Can you say, man, I did it for 12 years. Oh, by the way, I wasn't sitting in an office either. Amen. I was on a line stacking ice cream in a cooler. It was manual labor. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, I was glad to do it. Ask my wife. I came home with joy because I witnessed and I shared Jesus and I led some people to the Lord, and I left the fragrance of Jesus when I left that job. Praise God. Amen. Because this man looked up. I'm bragging on Jesus, but I want you to know there is a way you can live to bring honor to the King. Hallelujah. And he said, "Well, what about him? What about him? I can't defend some of them, but what about him?" And I love the answer, he said. He said, "Well, he's different. Well, I'm still different, and I'm glad I'm different. Can you say amen, Brother Taylor? If someone wanted to sponsor me on television, I'd be more than happy just flip the camera on. But you're going to get me on television. And if God doesn't meet the budget, maybe God don't want me on television. Can you say amen? But if God wants me on television, I'll beg for my family. Ain't too proud to beg. I will beg if my family's going hungry. I'll knock on your door and say, would you please share some groceries with us? They never have, because God's took good care of us. Amen. I'll beg for my family. I'll beg for my doggy. If he ain't got no food, you got any old dog food, something, old bread, anything, my dog would be hungry. I won't beg for Jesus Christ. I won't beg for this great God. Oh no, I won't beg for Him. I won't beg as if we can't make it and we can't do it if you don't help us. No, if God is in it, if God is in it, if God has ordained it, if God is the one sponsoring it, somebody is going to contribute. Somebody is going to give. God told us to go on radio way back. WSOL, half a day, Christian half a day Spanish programming. Remember when God told us to go on the air? And we went on the air. We were barely meeting our church budget. So I was full time, so at my salary, you know. And we're going on radio. How are we going to meet that? Well, we take a step of faith. We go on the air, and we trust the Lord. Well, first 3 or 4 months, somehow or another, it came in. So I said, how are we going to do this without receiving two offerings? Because I don't like receiving an offering and receiving an offering. There was a church in the city that received about 8 offerings in one morning service for different things. So it just was impressed upon me. I said, well, I'm going to take a coffee can. We're going to wrap it with something. Write on it with a marker, radio broadcast donation to keep us on the air. I'm going to sit it in the back corner of the church. And we sat it in the back corner of the church. Lo and behold, look in that coffee can, there'd be enough to meet the radio broadcast. Wow. Not only did it bring God glory that way, no one could misinterpret why we were on the radio. They knew. We're not on the radio to get money from you. We're on the radio to share Jesus with you. Praise God. Praise God. I remember when certain ministries fell and it was national news when they fell. And it involved financial stuff and all of that come crashing down. They interviewed Billy Graham on CBS. I was at a Sears store getting tires for my car, sitting waiting for them to put them on and looking at that interview. National disgrace upon a particular ministry that had fallen. And part of the problem with the ministry that everyone had was that it was always this. It was always give me. And so the ministers in the ministry lived in opulence while always asking for people to sacrifice and give. And they asked Billy Graham, what do you think about that? And he said, I don't know the heart. I loved his answer. I don't know the heart of those people. Only God knows their heart. But he said, I can speak for myself. If I had to do that and misrepresent the motive in preaching the gospel, we'd go off the air. He said, I'd rather not be on television than to get on television and feel that I have to misrepresent my motive, that the devil could twist it and turn it into something else. I love that answer. And he said, by the way, when we go on television, we're not trying to reach Christians. For the righteous don't need, the well don't need a physician, and the righteous don't need saving. He said, we don't go on that often, but when we do, we buy prime time on non-Christian stations because I'm an evangelist. And God is said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can you say amen? Somehow or another, God supported that ministry for all of those years without having to misrepresent the kingdom of God. When any man finds the kingdom of God, it is a treasure hid in a field. He sells all that he has to purchase that treasure. The kingdom of God is as a pearl of great price. When a man finds it, he sells all that he has to possess it. What they found out at work is that Pastor Venable was a seeker of the kingdom of God. And you can't entice me with more stuff. I love my family so much. I want them to know about God's kingdom. I want them to know. I want them in church. I want them under the word of God. I do not want them backsliding. Hallelujah. I want them front sliding. And I want them to know what is really valuable in life. And I'm living it out. I said I'd go to work rather than compromise, and I did it for 12 years. But I never missed a Sunday. If anybody was in the hospital, because I chose an afternoon shift, 2 to 10:30, I was at the hospital when they were going in surgery, and I rushed straight to my job. Sometimes I only slept 3 or 4 hours, but God gave me grace, and God gave me mercy, and God gave me strength. Hallelujah. And God proved himself over and over and over and over again. Bunch of guys, when the plant closed down after I had left there, they went to Publix, their warehouse. And I'm always meeting people from that migrated from that warehouse, from Winn-Dixie to Publix, before they went under, and now they don't even deal with Winn-Dixie anymore. They don't buy from them, but they lost their contract, and a lot of people lost their job. But I meet people from Publix, and one man in particular, my wife was with me. We were in Wally World. That's Walmart for you city folk. Can you say amen? And he came down. He's a young black man, this precious man with a sweet spirit. And he came up and said, Rev, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. How are you? And we got into a conversation. And he said, I tell people all the time over at the Publix warehouse where I work now about how we would go into the break room and open up the Bible and study the Word of God together. And we'd ask you questions. You'd give us answers. And Rev, I'm so glad for the time that we had together. Can you say, man? And I thought the fragrance of Jesus is still lingering. Praise God. And I'm so glad I didn't cop out and I didn't compromise and I lived what I believed and I put the kingdom of God first. Can you say, man? Why? Because God's hand is still on me. His anointing is still upon me. Amen. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with us yet. Can you say, man? There is a kingdom that is worth everything to obtain. That nothing is more important than when a man discovers it and sees it for himself. There's no woman, there's no man, there's no job, there's no house, no car, no gold, no silver that can tempt you anymore. Woo! Did you say no woman? I said no woman. No woman. And I love my wife. She's my woman. We've been married 51 years and counting. I wouldn't take $1 million for her. I wouldn't give you a nickel for another one. No, I mean, we grew up together. I wouldn't. Nobody else could stand me. The real me. Not that I'm mean, I'm just me. No one mistakes me for Tom Cruise anymore, even with my glasses on. No one, no thing, if you ever discover the kingdom. I love when the Spanish conquistadors came here, their attitude. They came here to conquer. They came here to take land. And when they arrived on the shores, particularly down in South America, when they arrived, you know what they did? They burned the boat. They burned the boat. Why did they burn the boat? Because you got to go forward, because you sure can't go back. You make a decision, we ain't going to lose no battles, because we're not going to retreat. It was said during one of the Napoleonic Wars, before he had that fall, before this little Napoleon, the little general, before he fell, in one of the wars he was fighting, his troops were losing. And he, as the general who went out to battle with them, he didn't just sit in a war room, he went out to battle with them. He came to his trumpeter, and they had won so many battles after battle after battle. He came to his trumpeter, and they listened to the trumpet to charge. He always blew the charge. But they were beginning to, the tide of battle was turning, and the general decided, you know, we'll back off and fight again another day. And he came to his trumpeter and he said, sound the retreat. And his trumpeter hesitated. I mean, this is your general giving you a direct order and he's hesitating. And he said, son, did you hear me? I said, sound the retreat. And he said, sir, I have never learned to play the retreat. The general befuddled said, well, then sound the charge. Hallelujah. Amen. And when they heard that he was giving them the go-ahead to go on and charge, they took courage, and instead the whole tide of battle turned. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My brother and my sister, I believe that we need to burn the boat. I believe that we need to sound the charge. Hallelujah. I believe we need to get this quit, give up, go back attitude out of us. Wow. Somewhere over the Atlantic, flying from New York to Europe today, there's a pilot, there's a co-pilot, part of that flight crew critical to it, there's a navigator. And the navigator is tracking where they are in relation to where they're going and where they left from. They're over the ocean all the way. You can't make a pit stop. Can you say amen? There's no rest area to pull off in. There's a point when the navigator will report to the pilot and the co-pilot of that plane. You know what he will report? That means the distance that they left from, the distance to their destination. They've crossed that point of no return. Everybody say the point of no return. When you as a Christian cross that point of no return, you'll be amazed how many battles you're going to start winning that you've been losing. Can you say amen? When you make up your mind, I mean really make up your mind, I'm going to follow Jesus if nobody follows him but me. I'm going to follow Jesus if everybody laughs at me. I'm going to follow Jesus if everybody else turns around and goes back. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. It's amazing what that kind of commitment and resolve will do for you. Can you say, man, what the devil is tempting you with will not tempt you any longer. Hallelujah. And you'll never make that commitment till you see the kingdom for yourself. And you understand the riches of Jesus Christ. Let me hurry. I'm 10 minutes past where I was going, but I'm not really making a radio broadcast. So we'll stay just a minute longer. He will come and knock on the door of that cabin. If it's closed, they will open the door and he will make a report. We have just passed the point of no return. No matter what happens from that point forward, No matter what happens from that point forward, it's closer to go on to the destination than it is to go back. Can you say amen? And friend of mine, I want you to know Jesus is coming soon. This old world has seen the best days that it's ever seen. And no man is going to solve the complex problems of this old world until the King returns. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I don't know what you're going to do, anyone in this room. But I got a Joshua 24:15 attitude in my house. Amen. If Baal is God, if the gods of this world is God, serve them. If you want to follow Satan, become a Satanist for heaven's sakes. But if the Lord is God, serve Him. Can you say amen? Because friend, you got to serve somebody. Amen. Amen? You're going to, listen, until you get saved, the Bible said you're of your father the devil. His works you'll do. You're a servant. You say, I don't serve nobody. I'm in my first day preaching in the county jail. I went in, there's about 32 men in there, and we got into the Word of God, And I said, you know, the devil has lied to everybody sitting in this room. He's lied to you. I said, you want to hear his lie? I don't serve nobody. Nobody tell me what to do. I said, really? Seriously? 25 minutes, I'm going to walk out of here. You ain't. If lunch is bologna sandwich, you can't send it back for a cheeseburger. Nobody tell me what to do. You'd be amazed when I teach the scripture. How many Christians look at me with that same attitude? Nobody tell me what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what God said you ought to do. Amen. If you don't do what He says, oh man, song coming on. If I do what the Lord say do. If I do what the Lord say do. If I do what the Lord say do, do, do. Everything will be all right. I believe it. I receive it. Praise God. I said, I'm going to go home. And if I want to stay up till 3 in the morning and watch the Three Stooges have a marathon, I can do it. I ought not do it, but I could do it. But I said, there's going to be a light out in here. He promised you that you're going to be your own man and do your own thing, and you got everybody telling you what to do. I said, I submit my life to Jesus Christ. And I follow Him. And I take His cross, hallelujah, in order to follow Him. And I bear His name. And I walk in great freedom and great liberty. Glory be to God. And oh yes, my family is preserved. Oh yes, my life is preserved. Oh yes, my destiny is sure. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And at the end of that meeting, 30 out of the 32 raised their hands to receive Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is a liar, and he is the father of it. There are people in this room that know Jesus. They know about Him. They even like Him a lot. But they don't love Him enough to really get serious about serving Him. But the day that you do, everything is going to change. Let me read you two scriptures real quick so we can say we read them. Luke's Gospel 16, verse 11, red letter, the words of Jesus. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. What is unrighteous mammon? What is unrighteous? You know, the Bible said you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is a word used for not just riches in and of themselves, because it's not money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. You can't serve God and mammon. See, when you see the kingdom for what it is, you lay your treasure up somewhere else. You lay your treasure up where the thief can't steal it. See, I probably wouldn't go to Wally World if I owned a Jaguar. I would not want to park my Jaguar in the parking lot of Walmart with buggies just running all like radio-controlled cars running all over the place. People trying to squeeze between your car and a big old pickup truck with their buggy. Yeah, I'd be in there worried about my Jaguar. But I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. Listen to me carefully. I understand and appreciate the kingdom. When my son looked like he was dying and God worked a miracle and healed him, oh Lord, you can't put a price on that kind of relationship with God and His kingdom. A God who answers prayer. Hallelujah. You don't have enough money. Your insurance isn't good enough. There's no doctor good enough to heal the cancer that was in my body. But my dad had seen the kingdom. Hallelujah. And he knew there's a king that rules in this kingdom. And his name is above cancer. Can you say amen? And I'm here going on 68 years old today, next month. Amen. Because God healed a young man, 8 years old, with leukemia. Oh yeah, doctors won't acknowledge that. They put on my report after prayer, spontaneous remission. Can you imagine? Spontaneous remission. Did you give him chemo? No. Did you give him radiation? No. Did he get a bone marrow transplant? No. Did he get anything from them? No. The only thing I got from them was a death warrant. When he gets bad enough, we'll get him admitted to the old county hospital. Looked like a Stephen King place. I mean, it was scary then. It's the old one down on, what, 34th? I don't know. 22nd. It's an old gray-looking building. Going to throw me in there to die. But they took me to a church, amen, where people were sold out. Hallelujah, where people prayed 7 days a week, where God was moving every single night. Amen. The revival that began where I got healed, amen, it was 7 nights a week, and it wasn't any particular evangelist. People said, God is showing up, so we're showing up. God is showing out. God is moving. And in one of those services, my mama took me by the hand and walked me down into a healing line. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. The kingdom of God is worth more than anything in this entire world. I would have been dead years ago. My mom and dad's only child wouldn't have been there to see them through to heaven. Praise God. But God came through and God moved. Brother Taylor, I don't know about you, but I am so hungry for the things of the Spirit and the things of the kingdom. Praise God. We got the most intellectual. We got people that know more scripture than they've ever knew, but they don't know much about the living God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. PhDs in theology. Don't know a thing about walking in the Spirit. Don't have a clue about what God can do. And the threat today is that Christianity be relegated as just another man-made religious philosophy and categorized with all the other world religions. Unless the God who answers by fire shows up. Can you say, man? Unless the God who answers by manifesting His presence and His power shows up. Then there's a distinguishing. We do not argue ideologies. We do not argue religious philosophies. We just say, let the God who answers and manifests His power and presence be declared the true and the living God. Can you say, man? Elijah that called that fire down through his prayer. Hallelujah, was a man like us. Isn't that incredible? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as you are. Just as human, just as frail, had all the fallacies. But he prayed. And God answered. Amen? Wow. Hallelujah. Get ready to worship. Get ready to worship. Get ready to worship. We didn't get into the blessing part yet. He said, if you don't know how to use the unrighteous mammon, you don't know how to deal with the material properly in right perspective, you don't have that down yet, who will commit to you the true riches? Who will trust you with the eternal spiritual stuff? Who would trust you with souls of men and women when you don't see the kingdom? You don't see the value of those souls. You spend your money on what your needs, God's work, the reaching of the lost has no place in your economy, your system. You know why it doesn't? Because you haven't seen the kingdom. You might have seen the king, but you haven't seen the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's just a bonus. And you have that right perspective. Praise God. True riches, true riches. The blessing of the Lord, his favor, being right with him, maketh rich. Everybody say true riches. I'm going to read that to you in closing. Let's define it. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. 20 minutes it took. Did you say somewhere 15, 20 minutes? Looking back today on the news this morning. All the celebrities that have passed, they're dead. Doesn't matter what kind of house they had, car they had, fortune they had, pain they had. Fame they had, they're gone. That can't be true riches, can it? It's all gone. It's over. It's done. Robin Williams making everybody laugh. Everybody loved Robin Williams, but Robin Williams without peace? What good is the fame? What good is the mansion? What good is the money? What good is the applause of everyone? You hit a bump, you get a problem, it's insurmountable, there's no hope. Without peace, there's no reason to live with all those material things. Without hope and without peace. And these are the hallmarks of the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. These are the very foundation stones of God's kingdom. Hope and peace and love and power and grace. Wow. Glory to God. I'm so glad to be me today. I'm not envying nobody. My son, let not thine heart envy sinners, neither go thou after them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad to be me because I know Jesus. I don't know if they know Jesus, but I know Jesus. Can you say amen? And he knows me. Praise God. And I just want to encourage you this year as we pursue the things of the kingdom of God and the things of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, put it first in your life. God knows you need. He said, God knows what you have need of. Your heavenly Father knows. Seek the kingdom. God knows what you have need of. He knows. You don't have to tell him. He knows. Consider the lilies of the field, how God cares for them. They don't toil or spin. But Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed as one of these. If God so clothed the lilies of the field, will not he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Hallelujah. Praise God. Won't he give you a shirt and shoes on your feet? Yes, he will. You put the kingdom first, God will see to the rest of it. Can you say amen? The Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You get the whole enchilada. Because you put the kingdom first, he takes care of the rest of it. Look at the ravens. God feeds them every day. They're not panic stricken. They're not worried. They don't drink Maalox. They don't take Tums. Their tummy isn't upset. It's not in a knot. Every day God's going to provide. God made us and he's going to provide for us. And we got us. I don't know if ravens sing, but they got a song to sing if they wanted to. Hallelujah. Fowls of the air. God takes, feeds them. Oh, will he not feed you, oh ye of little faith? Can you say amen? Get it right. Put the kingdom first and turn God loose to bless you. Amen, the blessing of the Lord, it, the blessing, his favor, being right with him, it maketh rich. In that case, everybody that's come to Christ in this room, I'm in a room of rich people. In fact, you're filthy rich. Glory be to God. And moth can't corrupt it and a thief can't take it from you. Glory to God. Saw a t-shirt the other day that said, I'm stinking, filthy, rich. Underneath it said, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. We are rich. If the true riches is his favor and his blessing, I'd rather have a meal barrel in the time of famine that has one meal left out of it. One hoe cake to cook under God's blessing. Then I have a full one that's going to go empty. 3-year famine, and you got a year and a half of store in a year and a half. Get ready to starve to death or get robbed for what you got. Can you say amen? But if you got one that every time you dip out, God dips in. You didn't hear me. One that every time you dip out and God dips in, then it don't matter about your bank account or anything else. God's going to make a way. God is going to supply the need. God is going to take care of you. Somehow it's going to work out. Can you say amen? If God dips in when you dip out, it's going to work out. And he'll take you through the famine, praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, I want to put two ways before you. I want to hem you in. I want to get you to where you have that choice and you see that straddling the fence won't work anymore. I got to make a choice and I choose blessing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Oh, I'm so glad God's given me this to preach this coming year. It means he's not done with us. It means he's got something for us. He's got somewhere for us to go. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. How many are glad that you're hearing in the midst of all the trouble around us that God has a desire to bless his people and distinguish us with the blessing? Can you say amen? Mark us with miracles. You and Terry prayed a prayer with me after a men's breakfast and everybody was going, me, you, and him. And I divulged a personal need to you. And both of them began to pray for me and tears in their eyes with compassion and faith. And I thought, this is it. This is my moment. This is my moment to release my faith. Hallelujah. This is my point of contact right here because there's compassion and there's faith. Both blended together. And there's spiritual agreement. If two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, it'll be given them of my Father which is in heaven. And I look back on that day, and whether you know it or not, but I claim, but you, when you prayed, you said, Lord, mark us with miracles. Mark us. In other words, distinguish us as your people by answering prayer, by showing us your glory, by working wonders among us. Distinguish yourself from the gods who are no gods. Mark us with miracles. And I thought, this is my day to receive it. I want to be marked with a miracle today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is my day to receive it in the name of Jesus. And I said, I receive it. And I've never looked back on that day. Hallelujah. I just went forward in faith in God. And God took the fear away from me. He took anything the devil could use to torment me. Praise God. Hallelujah. He gave me victory. We didn't need a name evangelist with all the gifts in operation. We need two or three together in His name. Will you stand to your feet today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when I rose up this morning, the news on the television was bad. When I rose up this morning, I know a lot of bankrupt Christian lives. I know a lot of petunias in the onion patch. When I rose up this morning, I cannot deny that a lot of people used to follow Jesus, but they didn't like Him enough to keep on following Him, and they just went right on back to the world, fulfilling the proverb, the dog has returned to his vomit. Can you say amen? The dog has returned to his vomit. But when I woke up this morning, I know there are going to be some people that God is going to bless and mark them with miracles, to demonstrate to a gainsaying world that these signs shall follow them that believe. No sign shall be given to the unbeliever, but these signs shall follow them that believe. Can you say, man, in my name, in my authority, in my holy name, they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall. I love the way God talks. Come on. I've listened to all the explanations to explain it away because such a vacuum is in the church. Can you say amen? But God does not apologize for what He has said in His inerrant eternal word. In my name, these signs shall follow them. They shall tread on serpents. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shenda da ma kolo bo sanda da baritia. Konde da basitia. Kola basataya. So I have a Holy Spirit of an anticipation and expectation from the hand of God. When I rose up this morning, Brother Taylor, when I got up today, with the bad news and the backsliders and all that's going on in the church and the world, when I rose up this morning, I didn't have no doubt. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. No doubt. God is going to care for me and my family. God is going to make a way where there is no way. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have no sad tale to tell. I have no sad song to sing. Can you say amen? I brought a praise for the Most High God who's been so faithful to me. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. 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 He kana masunda dabara. Let's give Him praise today. Shula bakasunda dabara. We were faithful over a few things. I believe God will make us ruler over many. I believe doors are going to open this year because we've been faithful. We've been faithful. Brother Taylor, we've been faithful. I don't say that in pride. I say that because God has given us grace and mercy and helped us.